The following program contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is
advised. I can barely hear it.
Good evening, America and planet Earth. Hello, my old friends. I am Mickey Blowtorch, and I am back. I'm very happy to be here. I've been on hiatus for 7 months, and tonight I return once again to surf the airwaves and bring you that entertainment that you deserve and crave. That's right. The hottest live podcast south of the Mississippi is back. Pour a drink, put the kids to bed, and let them titties out, because you've tuned into He Said, She Said. Joined with me tonight is Kayla and Favorite. If her hips have more sway than a Rosemary Clooney song, my beautiful friend and wonderful co-host, Aggie Reakin, and we are coming at you live from an undisclosed Tijuana radio station. Hello, Aggie.
Hi! I'm so excited to have you back. Oh my God, dude, I have missed you so much.
I have missed
you. I'm not going to lie. I had fun with all of my guest co-hosts and having, you know, really weird Friday night podcast with you know, my friends Jeff and Rick and Ordy and everything, but it's just I've missed having my Mickey. I gotta be honest, I've missed having my Mickey.
I have missed you guys so much. It's like you know, a part of you is not there. We got so used to doing the Friday night show every Friday night for 2 years. We've been together doing this 2 years.
2 years.
Well,
oh my God.
Like two years. Well, I guess it's 2 years because I kind of paused it at the beginning of our second year or beginning of our third year. Oh, that was about 7 months ago. I think it was about March where I had to step down. And, you know, really, it was really, I had a lot of professional changes going on in my life. And I just had to hit the ground running. And it's almost like I had to let go of that Peter Pan style lifestyle that I have and grow up overnight. So it's been kind of depressing. I've, you know, just kind of been evolving and having to change with the life situations. So, you know, as a result, I just kind of wanted to step away a little bit because I really wasn't in that frame of mind to, I think, really bring quality entertainment rather than just kind of get boring and dull and just not be into it. I'd rather not do a show at all, you know. I want to put my all into it because that's what everybody likes and deserves to hear, good quality radio. So, but I things are settling down. I'm getting very acclimated to my new position. It's been very busy. Incredibly busy.
I can't even imagine. I mean, there were, you guys, there were nights where he would actually touch base with me like after 11 p.m. my time to let me know he just got home from work. It was that bad.
It was rough for a while. Wow. You know, so responsibility has to kick in, and that's what I've been doing, just being responsible Mickey over here, turning into the old man that leaves the windows open and plays Wheel of Fortune incredibly loud to discourage youngsters from getting on my lawn.
I actually, you know, one Halloween, I actually put an F on my lawn. And most kids did not get it, but every single adult did. It was awesome.
Get that F off my lawn.
I do Halloween for the adults. I don't do it for the kids.
Well, you know, that's where the, real magic lays within the adults. I mean, you know, it's fun to watch kids during holidays, Christmas especially. They're able to put that juvenile magic that we really can't create. But, you know, if you look back and watch our reactions to that, it brings back that nostalgic magic. And I think that that's almost as special.
Indeed, indeed. I'm telling you, I had people DMing me asking when you were going to be back, how you were doing, if things were okay. And, you know, and I told everybody, I was like, hey, you know, he's still checking in with me. He's doing great. He is kicking ass at work. His new job has him doing stuff that I can't even imagine. But, you know, he'll be back in, you know, eventually. So we're just keeping the seat warm for him. And that's what we did. Well, but yeah, you had a lot of friends that were like missing you. You have no idea how much you are loved in the Twitterverse.
No, that it really makes me happy to hear that. You know, I'm blushing right now. I don't really know what to say, but I have really missed entertaining everybody and laughing together and being here, you know, everybody in the KLRN radio chat room who joins us faithfully every Friday night, you know, all of the support that I get from all of you guys at KLRN. And it's just, you know, really, really missed it. And I'm happy to be back. That, you know, I can't remember what had happened this week, but it kind of, something pissed me off. And I just thought, you know what? I want to bitch about that. And I want to bitch about that on the airwaves. You know what? Maybe I am ready to come back and start having conversations again. So I told myself that I'd see how I felt that Tuesday, and I was still feeling it. And I think I reached out to you on Wednesday and gave you a heads up that I might be ready. And so here I am. Let's do it. Let's try it out. I think I can do it again. I'm happy to be here.
Well, we are ecstatic to have you back.
even if I am grown up Mickey.
Even if you are grown up Mickey, but let's face it, once you get on the podcast, you tend to grow down.
No. That's not the only thing that grows down in life when you get my age.
Listen. At my age, I'm like, look, I'll take it half grown. I don't care. No, seriously, it was so funny because we were doing the toxic masculinity, and I'm like, and Kimmy was our babe of the month, by the way.
I heard that. Congratulations, Kimmy.
She was awesome. We had so much fun on there with her. And then I realized I'm the oldest person on that damn podcast. I was like, son of a bitch. And everybody's like, I'm too old for these exercises and all this stuff. And I'm like going, shut your whore mouths, okay? Right now.
What exercises?
Oh, well, Kimmy picked out.
Okay. G's exercise of the month.
Yes, exactly. So Kimmy gets to pick the body part, and then G comes out with the exercise for that body part. And she picked thighs, which I'll be honest. Thank you, Kimmy, because let's face it, women kind of need help in that area. And, but geez, I was like, I'm listening to G going, and I'm like, yeah, I'm never going to do that. I'm not going to any, you know, gym to do this stuff. Forget it. I need something that I can do at home. we had a lot of fun. It was, we were cracking up. She was such a good sport and she had a lot of fun. I was so glad that she was our babe of the month.
Thighs. I subbed on Toxic Masculinity for G one time in the recent past. I think it was sometime last year, I believe. And so nobody was there to do the exercises. So I picked the taint.
Yes, I remember that. I was like, oh my God, that is so on brand for Mickey. And then all I could think of was Kegels.
I was going to just suggest that you guys should do that next month.
I don't know enjoy who our babe will be, but I'll warn her.
No, you should secretly tell the babe of the month, whoever it's going to be, hey, make it Kegels. and just totally throw them off their game. That would be some funny shit.
Okay.
I could just hear G already.
Well, Ordy's in chat, so I'm sure he's listening.
Well, Ordy's going to have to be in on it, so he's our inside
Ordy's
guy.
Ordy's in on it. But yeah, Ordy, you and me, simpatico.
You know, Kimmy was an excellent choice for Babe of the Month. There's so many folks out there. We need to set the whole thing up. We should back talk this and figure out what we can do on the back channel.
Mm-hmm.
I think this would be a great break. And the listeners at home would obviously be in on it too.
Of course.
We all have to tune in just to listen to it. I'm liking this idea.
I'm not saying no.
So how have you been, Aggie? I have missed you so much.
I've missed you too. You're like my other half of the brain. You're the half of the brain that likes to party. My brain does not party very often. Obviously, you people know me. I am like such a fuddy-duddy. I'm June Cleaver. So, but there's this little part of me that's a rebel, and that's the Mickey part of me. And it has missed you so much.
Oh, my goodness.
As a matter of fact, when you told me that you were going to get ready to come back, I was like screaming in the house. My husband's like, what's wrong with you? And I said, Vicky's ready to come back. He's like, I'm going to leave you alone now. It was hilarious. But, you know, I told Rick, because Rick had been my guest host for a very long time.
That's right. And I just want to thank him real quick before we continue on. I keep meaning to give him a quick shout out. Thank you so much, Rick. You stepped in and really saved the show and helped me out a whole lot being able to fill in and keep that space going for us. But thanks for keeping my seat warm, brother. I appreciate it.
Oh, he was great. I cannot recommend Rick enough. If ever anybody needs a guest host or just wants to like have somebody in, and I mean, Rick is not just smart, he's funny as hell, he's very witty, he's sharp,
fun. Very
so
fun.
and he runs KLRN, so he's like the whole package, he really is. But you know, last week we had Rick, we had Ordy, and we had Jeff, and that was a bomb show, because we were talking about all sorts of extraterrestrial shit, mostly pictographs, petroglyphs, and hieroglyphics and stuff like that. And that was a fun show, because a lot of people don't know there are petroglyphs in Puerto Rico. In my hometown, there is this area called La Piedra Escrita, which means the written stone. And so we were talking about some of the petroglyphs that are on it. And there's two petroglyphs that are inscribed on it that you can't find anywhere else on the island. The rest of the stuff you can find everywhere, but not those two. And so one of them looks like a
Coors Light ad.
I wish. One is a cowboy, and the other one's an astronaut. It looks like it has a helmet with little antenna and everything. And so we were, you know, that was the tangent that we took off on, uh-huh. You know, the Mayan ones and the hieroglyphic ones and all that stuff and everything. So we had a lot of fun with that podcast. And we were like lamenting the fact that you couldn't be on it, because I know this is up your alley.
Oh my God. Those guys are so much fun to do radio with.
Are they not?
I've been on a couple of sporadic episodes here and there during my hiatus. I got, had the privilege of being on Juxtaposition a couple of times. And then one particular time I was on Al's show with Al, Rick, Ordy, and Jeff. Mm-hmm. And we kind of did a panel style, and Al hosted. That was really fun. But those guys are just so much fun to geek out with, talking about paranormal topics and fringe sciences, whatnot. Just so much fun. And most recently, Ordy and I we were invited to go on to John Katz's show.
You were. That was a fun podcast.
Did you check it out?
Yes.
It was really fun.
Fucking A, I did.
Do you like my disguise?
Both of you. John was the only one. What was an obvious student? Your disguise, and I was dying. I was like, oh my God. Mickey, what are you doing? And yet, it was so on brand, I cannot even.
I figured it would work out pretty good.
It did. It did. If you guys have not caught that podcast, you really should, because it was a lot of fun. It was really great. I'm so glad you did it. And it was funny because I don't know who it was. Somebody asked me, how come he has time to do that podcast? That y'all don't understand. This was pre-recorded, first of all.
Yeah.
And, you know, they had to make the time. So, seriously, Mickey barely has any time Fridays. This is why he's been missing. You guys don't really know his schedule.
No, it's nuts. We did that, I think we did that about a Saturday afternoon where we could all just sit down and be interrupted for a couple hours. And we really had a fun time. We ended up talking and recording for about 2 hours, a little over 2 hours, I think. And then obviously John had to edit it down. But we really had fun. John is such a very insightful and thoughtful, fun person to talk to.
I met him at CPAC.
Really?
And he didn't know who I was, even though he follows me.
That
which
is
was
hilarious.
Which was hilarious, because he followed me before I followed him. So he sought me out, and yet he didn't know who I was, which was beautiful. But I met him at CPAC, and he was
last year
just,
or the year before?
Last year.
That is, I didn't know this.
Yeah, last year he was at CPAC, and I looked at him and was like, oh my God, that's John Katz. And Brad was with me. I was like, yeah, what of it? I was like, you don't understand. This is John Katz. And Brad's looking at me, yeah, what's your point? I'm like, dude, this is John Katz. And Jen was like, what is wrong with you, Brad?
That is hilarious.
You know, for Brad, it was like, oh, he's just another guy because they're friends and everything, right? For me, it was like, it's an idol, and I cannot believe I'm talking to him, that kind of thing, you know?
Doesn't he do such good radio?
He does. He's an incredible podcaster, incredible radio personality. He's perfect. He really is. And he was a lot of fun. He's very personable, too.
He is.
I was kind of leery about meeting him because a lot of podcasters and a lot of radio personalities have a certain ego. Okay. And sometimes the ego is well deserved and well cultured and everything, but sometimes it's not. And so I was kind of leery and everything. And that dude, man, when he is giving you attention, it's all for you. He actually pays attention to you. Very, very few people have that gift, but he does. And it was awesome meeting him at CPAC. I doubt he remembers me, but everybody was drinking at the time. So there's that. But no, he's very personable. He's very friendly. And one of the things that I noticed about him is like, he really doesn't have that big of an ego. He's very,
very, very
down
humble.
To earth, you know, and he's like I could tell him I collect like yardsticks or something like that. And he would totally be into it. He'd be like, tell me more about it.
He's kind of got like that Mr. Rogers, je ne sais quoi.
Yes, he does. He has that quality. He's a great guy. For those of you out there, if you don't listen to his show or follow his podcast, please do, because he is just amazing. He really is fun.
No, Jeff's got a link up in the chat room for everybody listening. Fun time. Really, really, really fun radio. We were talking about all kinds of paranormal and fringe science and alien topics. It was, you know, fun to geek out, kind of like the lone gunman from X-Files type stuff.
You know, that is a love-hate relationship for me, because I loved the lone gunman. And when they killed him off, I was pissed.
They killed him off?
Yes.
In the X-Files or the spinoff?
In I think it was the X-Files that they got killed off. And I was so pissed off because I love the spinoff. So I was like, how could you do this to me? You like broke my heart.
They totally remind me of me, Ordy, Jeff, Rick, yes! and Al, and John. We totally would be those guys. Because, you know, I'll call, Ordy will call me up once in a while. And we talked several times throughout this period that I was off the air, and just so that we could bullshit a little bit and get our fix on UFO and simulation theory type stuff. So, you know, him and I can just talk about it forever. And, you know, what's funny is we can say things like, you know, in the Randlesham incident, and he'll know exactly what the Randlesham incident is. You know, we're just so geeked out like that. It's really fun.
It was a lot of fun having the guys on your podcast, but I'll be honest, I would rather you be on the podcast with the guys and me listening, because that is always so much fun. And actually brought it up last week during the podcast that we should get together, you and Ordy and Jeff and Rick, once a month to do a podcast just solely on this stuff.
That would be super fun to have something regular.
I think that would be great. You know, they wrote me in it, but I'm like, I'm a novice at this stuff. I'd rather just listen. I don't mind being in it, but I'd rather just listen at what y'all have to say. But it has to include Mickey, because Mickey's really into this shit.
Oh, I am. I'm like a closet Fox Mulder, but I'm not really closeted all that much. I'm pretty open about digging all of the UFO stuff and secret fun stuff, government conspiracies, all that good.
I will tell exciting. You this. I was, when I was in college, one of the things that I was a geography major, minor. I had two minors, and one of the minors was in geography, but most of the geography that I did was botanical in nature, because I really loved my botany teacher, Dr. Kimber. And one of the things that she did was she took us to El Banco de Cobre, which is in Mexico. And El Banco de Cobre is a series of a mountain range in the northern part of Mexico. There are several native villages that are still in there. And so what we did was our job was to chart. We would chart like a 5-foot by 20-foot piece of dirt, basically. Everything that grew on there, we would chart. So that they would have an estimation of what the local botany, the local flora was. And this was like a free service for the area. And we were there for like, I want to say about 4 or 5 days. It was a long, long weekend. And one night we were outside and we were drinking coffee, because yeah, in Mexico, you drink coffee at night. In most Hispanic areas, coffee is drunk after 8, unlike here in the US.
And it's thick as shit too.
Yes. And so, and yeah, all the coffee had Kahlua in it, but we won't discuss that. And I turned to one of our hosts whose family had been there since before the Spaniards had come in. Okay. Uh-huh. So this area is very, very old. And I turned to him and I jokingly said, I said, I bet you've had your share of UFOs. And he says, well, I don't think we have. I know we have. And the way he said it, I looked at him and he looked at me, and then he just took a sip of his coffee and just smiled. And I'm like, oh, holy shit. Are you serious with me right now? The dude was deadly serious. He said that that area, Banco de Cobre, which literally means copper embankment. It's a ridge.
I was thinking it was a bank of the cobra, and there was a lot of bullion inside of it.
No, it's copper. There's a lot of copper that
comes
from that.
I'm disappointed now.
Yeah, you're disappointed now. But there's a lot of copper that comes there. But he actually told us that their oral history talks about visitors from before the end times. For them, the end times were when the Spaniards got there. Okay. So, and I was like, what kind of visitors? And I said, well, they didn't come from the sea. They came from the sky. I'm like, oh my fucking God, I need to talk to you people. But we were leaving the following day and I never got back to Banco de Cobre. So I don't know. But I mean, seriously, these people have an oral history of this stuff. And it just fascinated me to know that this happened, you know, that they have this. Because, you know, I'm not sure if a lot of people in the podcast world know, an oral history
is different than an anal history.
Yeah, it's extremely important to a culture, especially a culture that does not have a written language. So oral histories actually were how you passed down your culture to the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
And so if this was part of their oral history, I'm like, I need to know more. But and it has killed me because that is one thing that I bitterly regret, not going back to find out what else they could tell me.
That would have been pretty cool.
That would have been awesome.
And look at all of these indigenous peoples that have similar oral histories of star people and visitors all throughout, you know, that area. Mexico especially, it was a major hotspot. And it still continues to be a hot spot within the UFO community.
Yeah, it still is.
Real big and active on that. That stuff is just so much fun to talk about and geek out. I think we could I think we could talk about it to the point where we could probably have at least a monthly show. And
I think
and
so. I think you guys
content.
Can have a monthly show, and I would be so into that. That would be so awesome because a lot of people, I mean, there's some people that do it, but they do it in a way that's like, I don't know, it's inconsistent and it's kind of like too out there, like not realistic enough. I know that sounds weird, but there is a method to the madness, and these people don't take the method to the madness. You guys do. So,
I think a lot of those guys out there just kind of shoot from the hip and don't have a lot of focus, or maybe they have too much focus and, you know, hit too much on one topic. I really don't know what the magic ratio is when it comes to that. I guess it's going to be kind of trial and error to begin with. But I really like the way that Jeff does his shows. I really like juxtaposition quite a bit. In fact, that's been my yard cleaning podcast that I've been listening to Ordy and Rick on juxtaposition. They really talk about some topics. And you know what's really cool about all those guys, including Jeff and Al too on their shows, they do so much research into the show before they go into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have a really structured homework that they do and references and I
am always blown away with
put together. I am too.
Honest to God, Jeff blows me away because he sacrifices so much to do the research. Right now he's doing Rings of Power. I know it's supposed to be Rings, but he calls it Rings of Power.
That's hilarious.
And he's reviewing it. And I'm like, how do you subject yourself to that? Why would you subject yourself to that? Because we all know it's crap. And every single episode, he's got like six or seven pages of notes. And I'm like, oh, you poor thing.
Jeff really puts a lot of effort into his production.
He does. And I'm like, and it's really weird because in the little town that I live in, I was out at the grocery store. And the gal that was taking my groceries to my car, because I'm freaking out. This place is so nice. And so she's taking my groceries out. And, you know, we're just conversing. She has this really pretty shock of green in her hair and everything. I was commenting on it. And she's like, it's a nod to, I don't know, Dungeons and Dragons or something or other. And I looked at her and was like, are you into podcasts? And she said, yes. And I said, tune in to KLRN radio. And I wrote it down for her, Asgard North, you know, and I said, that is my friend and he does D&D. He's like, you're kidding. I've been looking for a podcast. So the other day I was actually there and I saw her and I said, have you listened to it? She's like, yeah, I listen to it when I'm from school. So she's not doing it live or anything, but she actually listens to it.
That's awesome.
She's like, it is so cool. And I was like, it really is. I just wish I had played more D&D so that I could be more familiar with it.
To
but...
it, right? I listened to an episode a while back, and I really enjoyed just listening to it because it was so interesting, and I don't know shit about D&D.
I know exactly. You don't have to know about D&D. And that was my problem.
And it was still entertaining.
Wow, I never really played
for, you know, a layperson. I found value in it and enjoyed it and just kind of made me a little bit more curious or even wish that I had more of a D&D minded imagination to be able to get down like that.
But it's amazing. It's making D&D is making such a huge comeback now. And I was it was amazing to me simply because people are moving away from stuff like Fallout 3 and Skyrim and all that stuff, going back to the precursor of everything, which were the books of D&D, you know, doing it old style.
Uh-huh.
And I was talking to my brother-in-law who used to have a D&D, you know, they played and whatnot. He told me that all of his old friends from high school, with one exception, wanted to get back together and do that whole thing. And I'm going, are you serious? And I said, and he said, yeah. And I was like, who's the holdout? And I was like, well, Russell, but he passed away.
Oh.
That's why he can't be on it. And I'm like, holy cow.
So we're waiting to hear back.
So what they're doing is they're getting back together and they're doing it in memory of Russell, which is That's really cool.
That is cool.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, D&D is having this resurgence. All of the old stuff is coming back. And this is what I tell everybody, which is why I'm such a vintage maven. Everything old becomes new again. And I mean, we witnessed it.
True.
Remember when Minecraft came out and it was 8-bit?
Yeah.
And everybody went insane. I'm going,
oh, it was so much fun. I wasted so much time in Minecraft.
I know. Everybody did. And I'm like,
what
this is 8-bit.
What a time waster.
Meanwhile, we had like 256-bit over here, you know, going, what the shit?
There were some nights where I could drink half a bottle of tequila and then build an entire roller coaster system that went underground. I really wasted a lot of...
I had all of my nieces were into Minecraft and everything. As a matter of fact, when Lego came out with the Minecraft sets, I pre-ordered them because I am Lego VIP, as a matter of fact.
I love Lego to this day.
So I pre-ordered all of them. And that's what I gave for Christmas. And they were like over the moon. And I'm not kidding. My nieces are like in their late 20s, early 30s. They still have those Minecraft sets. As a matter of fact, my 33-year-old niece is having a baby. She has her Minecraft set in the nursery.
That's awesome.
And I'm like, oh, you go, girl.
Yeah. I love Legos. I used to just, every time I went to Target, I would go through the Lego aisle just to see what was new and what they had. And lately, I haven't seen anything that I was too crazy about, but I haven't done it in a couple of years. But if I was feeling blue, I would go waste $60 on a cool Lego set and bring it home and put it together, and that would just cheer me right up.
Because of moving, I had to pack away a lot of my Lego sets, and Brad actually asked me the other day if I had any of them out. And I said, it's really weird. I only have 3 sets out right now. Actually 4, if I recall correctly. The rest are still packed away. And he's like, when are you going to get to them? And I said, dude, I just finished clearing out enough space to where I can actually build out all of the ones that are still in boxes and put them in a shelf.
Oh, I have zero room for all that. I've got all of my sets right now in their original boxes. I saved the boxes and everything. I'm absolutely nerdy.
Well, you know what I did was I decided to put a shelf that runs above the window. So there's about 14, 15 inches before the roof, before the ceiling, I mean. And so I had that set up so that I can display all of them in there. Now, they're all different. I mean, some of them are architecture. Some of them are Minecraft, obviously. There's a lunar lander module.
I think I saw that one. It looked really, I almost bought it. I just couldn't bring myself
to ISS do it. Is up there, you know, that kind of thing. But I figured out that if I put that shelf over the window all the way along the wall, I have enough room to put all of them, you know. So that's what I'm going to be doing. And it looks really cool. And it doesn't take up a lot of space. And people always comment on it. And I figured, well, it's the guest room. Nobody's going to be in there unless they're staying over. And they're not going to care. Exactly. So that's where I put all of mine. I wanted to put them in my craft area, which is the craft house. I have two guest houses on the property, and one of them is a guest house, which is where I'm at right now. And then the other one is where I do all of my furniture flipping and everything. And I was going to put them in there, but I'm like, I'll be the only one that's seeing them. I cannot deprive people of this. So that's why they're they're in the other guest room in my house.
Some of my favorite, what do they call the themes? Is there a word for it?
No, it's themes. There's architecture. They have DC. City, they have classic. Right. You know,
I'm a traditionalist really when it comes to a lot of things. The classic. In life. Yeah, I like classic stuff. I really don't like to get out of. I do have a very particular comfort zone, and I like to chill within that. I really try to stay within that. And I don't know why. I'm just a creature of habit, you know, and I will get outside of it and try new things, of course, but I like to have like just a foundation of steady, classic, familiar things in my life. So all of my Lego stuff is just all of the OG. I like the new city stuff that's coming out. I've got like the Antarctica stuff. I think that was really cool. But something that I thought was super awesome was, I guess it was about 10 years ago, maybe a little bit more, when they came out with those Monster series.
Oh, yes.
I have almost all of the sets in that series.
Wow.
I thought that was so cool. The hearses and, you know, kind of a rockabilly phase at the time, too. So it was just perfect.
I got into the architecture series. I had a bunch of Legos beforehand. I mean, seriously, there was a time, I want to say this was back in the 90s. They had the whole Robin Hood shindig going on. Because remember, Robin Hood Prince of Thieves came out with Kevin Costner. So Lego went on a whole Robin Hood thing. And they had Sherwood Forest. And it was the most amazing thing. It was an entire... What they did was it was a treehouse. And it was huge. It was almost... I want to say it was almost a foot and a half, if not 2 feet tall. I want to say it was a foot and a half tall, at least. And it branched out. And inside the branches, you would build the house, but you would still have branches out so that it was almost hidden. Kind of like they did in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it had the action where you could remember how he brought Marion down with the down from the treehouse and everything. It had all of that, and I built that up, and I gave it to my best friend when she was expecting her first child, who was a boy. And I said, you know, I just wanted to build this. I have no use for it, so you want it? And she's like, yeah, they still have it.
That's awesome.
He's 28 and he still has it, okay? And he says it is his favorite thing. And so I was into Lego for a very long time. And I was doing Lego just for the fun of it, just for, you know, just doing all that stuff. And then they came out with architecture. And I really got into architecture because some of the stuff that they were, they first came out with was Frank Lloyd Wright houses. And the first one they came out with was Falling Water. And Falling Water is probably the most famous of all of Frank Lloyd Wright's homes because it actually has a stream that runs through the house, underneath the house. And what a lot of people don't know about Frank Lloyd Wright is like, yeah, he designed a lot of shit. He was not an engineer. So engineers had to go right after, you know, right behind him to make sure that everything could work. Because he was not an engineer. He was just a designer. But Falling Water is probably the best known of his works. And then they put out Roby House. And so I got that one too. And so I got back into the whole architecture part of it. And then they started coming out with the monuments. You know, so they had the Lincoln Memorial, they had the White House, they had the Capitol Building, you know, all this stuff. And I'm like, okay, this is getting insane. And so, and then they started with the city representations. So what they would do is all of these things that were, that a city was famous for, they would put in one thing. So when they did London, the London Eye was there and part of Buckingham Palace was there and part of this, the Tower of London was there and everything. Even though they're all far, you know, really far away from each other, they were all put together. So like there was a representation of that city. So they had the London, they had Paris, they had San Francisco, they had New York, you know, those kind of things. And those were really cool.
I thought you were going to do the whole London France underpants thing.
I should have.
That's what I was expecting.
Yeah, that's you know. Oh, and JC, speaking of Frank Lloyd Wright, one of his houses is up for sale, and it's under $500,000. Just FYI.
I'm gonna have to Google this guy. I've never even heard of him.
Oh, Frank Lloyd Wright was an amazing designer. Like I said, he could design things, but he was not an engineer, which is why engineers always were right behind him to make sure that everything that he designed was structurally sound. They had a tough time with Falling Water, but they managed to fix everything. Roby House, I mean, there's a lot of stuff. He designed numbers and letters, believe it or not.
The number four, he did it. I'm a big fan.
Huh?
The number four. I also heard he had a hand in seven.
Very funny. But no, because he was an architect, he had a way of designing several, you know, numbers and letters, you know, that were his style. He was the bridge between Art Nouveau to the arts and crafts style. He expanded the arts and crafts style. So yeah, look him up and look up Falling Water.
I will.
When you see that house, you will fall in love. You will totally fall in love.
Educate myself.
It is possibly, for me, it is the perfect marriage between architecture and the environment. I can't describe it any other way. So yeah, look it up because it's really cool.
I'm going to. What
you're Googling right now, aren't you?
I'll get too distracted and be like,
You're like, yeah, whatever.
What is it with dudes in the middle name Lloyd going by their full name, like Andrew Lloyd Webber, Frank Lloyd Wright?
Right? I never thought of that. Oh my God. Okay.
Wacky.
That's pretty funny.
Let us know, Lloyds. Inquiring minds need to know.
However, there are some Lloyds that just stand alone, like Lloyds of London.
Woo! All right, that's a great joke for a segue into break. We're going to go ahead and roll into a quick break here, so go ahead and refresh your drinks, use the restroom and facilities, but wash your hands, and then come on back to join us for some more He Said, She Said after these messages.
Billy Ray was a preacher's son, and when his daddy would visit, he'd come along. When they gathered around and started talking, Passing Billy would take me walking. Out through the backyard we go walking. Then he looked into my eyes. Lord knows to my surprise, the only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. Yes, he was. He was. Yes, he was. No matter how hard I try, when he started sweet talking to me, he'd come and tell me everything is alright. He'd kiss and tell me everything's alright. Can I get away again tonight?
You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. Spring will be here soon, so if buying a new home is on your to-do list, right now is the time to call Quicken Loans. Learn about which mortgage options make sense for you and get a jump on your competition. With our exclusive Rate Shield approval, the low rate you lock today is protected for up to 90 days while you shop for your new home. With a Rate Shield approval, if rates go up, your low rate stays locked. But if rates go down, you get that new, even lower rate. Either way, you win. Talk to us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com to take advantage. Here's another great reason to work with us. For a record 9 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Again, to lock in today's low mortgage interest rate and get the security of our exclusive Rate Shield approval, call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Hi, welcome to this Subway ad for the new Sesame Ginger Glazed Chicken Signature Wrap. How would you like it?
I'll take a...
Sports announcer at home?
Yeah, how'd you...
We just know.
My wife picks up the new signature wrap. It's got double the rotisserie-style chicken mixed with a sesame ginger glaze. She appears annoyed at me, but she shrugs it off. Those sweet and savory flavors are calling her name. She lifts the wrap and... She takes the bite! Incredible! And now she's closing the door on my... Subway, make it what you want.
Limited time only at participating restaurants. Double meat basement, average 6-inch sub.
I'm Little Teapot, short and stout.
Here is my handle and here is my spout.
No, Dad, like this. When I get all steamed up, then I shout, tip me over and
pour me out.
This is WWE superstar Roman Reigns. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today.
Visit fatherhood.gov, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
KLRN Radio has advertising rates available. We have rates to fit almost any budget. Contact us at advertising@klrnradio.com.
You're listening to He Said, She Said with your host Aggie Regan and Mickey Blowtorch on KLRNradio.com.
Dun, 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 and we are back from break. Welcome back, everybody. If you're just tuning in, you've tuned into He Said, She Said on KLRNRadio.com, the hottest live podcast south of the Mississippi. I am Mickey Blowtorch. Joined with me is my wonderful friend and beautiful co-host, Daggy Reekin. Welcome back, Aggie.
Hi. I don't know if you can tell, but I'm like two margaritas in. In case anybody was wondering why Aggie is off and running, reminiscing about shit she did in Mexico, that's why.
This is a very appropriate occasion to be handing down the margaritas like that. I think.
Well, you do chose see well. You do live in a sea of senoritas and margaritas.
Such is my life.
That is your life.
This couldn't be the most perfect show to be boozing it up though tonight. The Return of the King. I am
exactly
back on the air.
It is the Return of the King. You have no idea how excited I was when you told me. I was like,
I've been pretty excited too.
Oh, I'm just so happy that you're back.
Everybody else is back too. Look at how many folks are in the chat room tonight. We've got all of the KLRN radio chat room regulars, Mike, Jeff, Federalist JC, MD Campbell, Mandy's in chat.
Ordy.
Eric.
Our beloved Ordy. Oh,
beloved Ordy. Mike G, of course.
Mike, yeah.
Swifty's in chat. You know, Christmas
Lucy.
Red. Lucy Howard. Lucy Howard is in chat. Oh, my God. I love you, Lucy. She is the best. I'm so happy to see everybody. Of course, Kimmy's in chat. Can't
Kimmy,
forget her. Rex,
Danielle, Mike,
Vincent, Charles,
lots of people. Yeah,
all
no.
of the whole Rat Pack, the Brat Pack, Taylor Impact.
Yes, indeed.
It's good to have everybody. Thank you for being here. What a warm reception it's been to be back, and all those smiling faces behind your anonymous keyboards.
Semi-anonymous.
Semi-anonymous.
Okay, maybe that's the tequila talking. I don't know.
Danielle's in chat.
Yeah, we have a really
Full
big
house?
Group tonight.
Full house. And sorry to anybody that I've missed. Just go ahead and raise your hand, and I'll be happy to. Thank you personally. Alan Ray. Oh, of course, Alan Ray.
Oh, yes, Al. Al has a new managerial position, and so... Don't tell anybody he's in chat.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, Al got a really good gig. So
that's awesome. So another one of us moving on up in the world.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
You know, I was just thinking earlier how much talent Kaler in radio really has.
You know, and we're all so different because, I mean, look at Ordy. Taking Ordy as an example, because Ordy is on almost every podcast.
I don't think there's a podcast that does not have Ordy in it.
And they're all different.
They are.
They're all different. I'm like, how is it that Ordy can keep that straight?
Even that one he does about menstruation. I don't know why, but you know, it's okay. He does okay with it.
But yeah, I mean, admittedly, we do a lot of political podcasting, but I
think that I don't think that's our bread and butter, though. Do you?
I think we've got such a diverse
lineup now. Really, look how much it's changed in the last 2 years. How many new shows that we've added? It really did start as a political talk radio. I think it's kind of where the roots came from. And
we have Jeff has three different. That I can think
he
of.
Does.
I may be missing one. But they're all different.
All different.
Ordy is in all different, you know.
Yeah, anything from political talk to science and paranormal stuff. You're in quite a bit of the shows, too.
Weirdly, I am. But I think it's because I'm comic relief. I'm like the Comic Sans of the font world.
Are you saying that you're like the podcast? Are you the Ed McMahon of KLRN and radio?
It's really funny because I have, I have the Cocktail Lounge, which actually developed from a podcast that I had with my girlfriend, LL Mayer, Mayer Nick, and she couldn't do the podcast any longer. So Brad, I love him to death. He rescued me and he offered to be my podcast partner for A Pod Divided, and so we developed the Cocktail Lounge from that. But that's kind of a different. We do have some politics in there, but when you're talking about the cocktail lounge, it's like you're at a cocktail lounge and we're just talking about shit at the bar. That's really how we handle that particular podcast. When we do toxic masculinity, it's all about appreciating both sexes. You know, the old-fashioned masculinity and the old-fashioned femininity. So we have both of those. And that one's always a lot of fun because there's no inhibitions. We're pretty loose. We're pretty, and it's not about politics. It's about celebrating that which makes us different and which complements each other. When you have Rick off the rails, it's literally off the rails. It's a great show. I mean, seriously, I mean, if you're not listening to Rick Off the Rails, you're missing out on a lot of stuff. If you're not listening to Whatever, which comes on before Cocktail Lounge on Tuesdays, you're missing out on Gen X, because that is all Gen X. That's all it is. It's Gen X, and it's awesome. You get to understand what our generation went through and how we view the world. And that's what Whatever is about. Then you go on Thursdays are amazing because there's two podcasts that share a same slot. So alternating, you have The Culture Shift with Ordy and Brad, which is about entertainment and how culture is actually being shifted by entertainment, or vice versa. And then you have one of the fun podcasts, which is Disasters in the Making. It's just about these horrible movies that these poor guys actually watch and actually skewer.
There are so many podcasts. And real quick, hi to Stacey D.
Really,
I just saw her in chat. We really have a huge diverse listing now, and I think that we've become a well-rounded entertainment network.
It really has become well-rounded, and it's really funny because sometimes I'll be asked to join the Culture Shift because they don't know why there's a baking show that's doing so well on Netflix. I'm not even gonna lie, that is one of the reasons I was on Culture Shift. They could not understand why a baking show was so highly rated on Netflix. And I had to actually go on to explain why.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I'm serious. That's why they asked me on, which was awesome. That was great. Sometimes I'll take over Disasters in the Making if Paul can't make it. And because I love god-awful movies, you know, that kind of thing. But we have podcasts about, you know, outer space. We have podcasts about different states and their politics. We have podcasts about gaming, about fantasy film, about, you know, just everything.
It's fantastic. It really is. And look, when we all come together, and Jeff mentioned the radio plays, you know, look at those two productions that we had, those live on the air radio plays that we all performed in.
Which, by the way, my dad's waiting for the third one.
Oh my goodness, everybody is. Ordy's trying to bully me into doing another production at the end of the month.
So I didn't get to tell you this, but I was at my folks for 2 weeks taking care of my dad while my mom was in Puerto Rico. My aunt passed away, so she went to deal with that. And so I went down to stay with my dad and take care of him for 2 weeks. My sister took the first 2 weeks, and then I took the second 2 weeks until my mom could come home. And so while I was there, I was doing my podcasts from my old bedroom and everything. And one morning, my dad asked me, so I noticed that you go off like at 7:30. I mean, do you go to bed or something? I was like, no, that's when I do my podcasts. And he looks at me and says, are you doing another show? And I'm like, what do you mean? I was like War of the Worlds. Are you going to do another one? And I looked at him and I said, well, I don't know. And he says, can we listen to the to the Christmas Carol one again.
Really?
Yes. So I took my laptop and I set it up for him at the kitchen table. And he sat there with his coffee and he listened to it again and he was like in tears laughing. So after that, I didn't tell anybody about this because I didn't have anybody to tell. You know, I mean, you were busy and everything.
Oh.
And so, you know, we listened. And afterwards, he said, I didn't notice, but your accent was really thick. And I looked at him and was like, Dad, that was on purpose. And so.
You're such a wonderful Mary Cratchit, too.
Yes. And so he's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. And he thought it was hilarious. He really enjoyed War of the Worlds, though. He really did. So he actually asked me if we were planning on a third one. What? And I said, well, I don't know. We had wanted to do Alice, but unfortunately, our head manager, which was you, has to work and he really doesn't have time to be fiddling around with that right now. He's like, well, if you guys have the time, it would be really nice for an old guy to listen to
something. Oh my goodness.
And I'm like, oh, what way to just put that guilt down. I looked at Dad and I was like, it's not gonna work.
Oh my god.
He was like, I tried.
That is
but,
so sweet.
But
though.
He really, you know, he really enjoyed War of the Worlds and he really enjoyed.
How fun was that? Terrible. That was our first production that we did on KLRN, our first live production together. And you know, we didn't even really anticipate it to be good. We just wanted to do it for fun and laughs and be together.
Yeah,
and drink.
Seriously,
and
my dad did not, you know, when he was
listening.
We
didn't expect it. When we were performing, we didn't expect it.
No, and that was the fun part. When he heard War of the Worlds, he took it seriously like he did. Because, believe it or not, my dad was around when War of the Worlds actually
came on the air.
Came on the radio.
That's
yeah.
Fantastic.
Now, he was in Puerto Rico. But what a lot of people don't know is that my grandmother was bilingual and she was teaching my dad English. And so whenever they would get, she would always look for the English stations and that's what they listened to at night so that it would go into my dad's head type of thing. So he actually heard War of the Worlds when it was first aired. And so when he was hearing this and he hears the Amish dude, the farmer, y'all have no idea. He was in tears, man. He was crying. He was laughing so hard.
Farmer
he didn't know how to pause it. So he missed some of it. So I sent him the link to listen to it again. But he loved the Christmas Carol. He thought that, yeah, he agreed that because I was Hispanic, I could cry forever. He agreed with that. I was like, thanks, Dad. But he thought that it was done all in fun. And, you know, some of the stuff he didn't catch the first time. So he actually listened to it two or three times before he could catch all of the funny jokes and everything like that. But he actually asked me, are we going to do a third one?
We have to. We're going to have to. You know, I can't commit just yet, but I'm racking my brain right now trying to figure out how to move some stuff around to see what we could possibly do. Ordy keeps begging me for a Halloween episode or production
I'll
this
part
year.
Part of that because I actually told Ordy, yeah, keep bugging him.
So,
because I didn't want to get in trouble.
maybe it would be feasible. You know, there's so much work that goes into the production of it. You know, Jeff does a lot of stuff behind the scenes, and I know he's ready to go. You know, he takes care of our playbills and scripts and does all of our editing on that. And he, fantastic job of that. But, you know, a lot of it goes into the audio engineering, too, is a real big part of Frankensteining all that together to have our audio cues and sound effects and all of that. And then, you know, but really the big fun part for me is directing it live, when it, yes. watching it all come together and watching everybody hit their cues and listening to the ad lib performances that are occurring. And just when we did A Christmas Carol, that turned out so wonderful and well that it was magic to be a part of that.
Even with the flubs and everything, yeah, it worked perfectly. It was a lot of fun. I mean, my dad was, I'm not kidding when I said he was like crying from laughing. You know, he thought it was hilarious.
And recording something because like that is one thing, but we did that live.
And here's the thing. My dad's favorite movies are Blazing Saddles and Shrek. He loves irreverent comedy. So already out of the park, when we were like, when Jen was talking about I had to be, you know, being a hooker and everything, he was dying. For him, that was like the be all and end all.
That makes like, me so happy yikes. That he's such a fan.
But yeah, so yeah, a lot of people have been asking if there's going to be a third installment, and you know, but I tell everybody, it's like it's not off the cuff. We actually have to do a lot of planning. We have to find the play. We have to find out. Exactly.
We have to find the day that everybody's available. So, yep. You know, I'll have to get the calendar out and figure out what's going on at work. Oh, and then, you know, there's also the possibility that I might have to travel. So if that occurs, then it's definitely going to be scrubbed. But we'll look at things and see what we can throw around and figure out here. But that would be so much fun. To come together and do another live production with you guys, with, you know, the KLRN players really have so much fun energy, and everybody brings something totally different to the table, and just getting that orchestrated all together and watching it play out, it's just absolutely magic for me. And being able to have directed two of our live productions, I honestly, I think that those are some of the proudest moments I have in my life. To pull those off. And, you know, I guess maybe it seems insignificant to others, but, you know, that really meant a lot to me, being able to do that. And I'm really grateful to have had the opportunity to work with everybody.
I hope that we can get it done again, because I think we spoiled people.
But look at the numbers we were doing. I think we had like 75 people in chat on the night that we did A Christmas Carol.
Yes. We had quite a lot of people, and that's not including the downloads. That's not including the people that heard it afterwards or anything like that. That was live. So, yeah, there were a lot of people.
You know, live radio is just so magic. I really hope it doesn't go away. I know that so many things are starting to go the way of the streaming services and watching things on your time.
Technically, I guess,
you know?
Podcasting is a streaming service.
It is, but we're still broadcasting live. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. You know, even though, you know, it gets archived in the various distribution services that we have, mm-hmm. we still have the live aspect. And I think a lot of people are getting into, like, the Netflix and the pre-recorded things is what I'm trying to say. And
Jeff is saying that Christmas Carol had 128 live listeners.
Oh, 128 live listeners. That's pretty incredible.
For Christmas Carol, yeah.
A live show on a Friday night.
Yeah, on a Friday night. So that was a big deal.
We put some asses in the seats.
But, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, radio's so old, and yet radio stays. Remember when the first song that was played on MTV was Radio Killed the Video Star, or Video Killed the Radio Star, right? By Buggles. And yet, I'm sorry, I don't see any videos anymore. I know they're made, but I don't see them anymore because MTV doesn't have videos. They have like reality TV now, but radio is still around. So I think that there is a certain romantic aspect, but also a certain reality aspect about radio, which makes it so hardy and so sustainable.
This kind of goes back, the third point that goes back to my one of my original statements at the beginning of the evening is how nostalgia is so magical.
Hello, Minecraft. Everybody was doing 8-bit.
Yep.
Everybody goes back to nostalgia. I'm wearing the aprons and the pearls. I'm still June Cleaver. There's a reason for that. Everybody wants that old, good, what they envisioned as being wholesome. You know what I mean? So, and that really, you know, that actually applies to even technology. I know you watch this too, but I watch Leave It to Beaver in the morning.
I was just going to bring that up and, and go off on a tangent about I used to get up every day and watch MeTV. I would start off with, and I love broadcast television. I find myself watching more broadcast television than I do regular cable television.
Same.
But I can't bring myself to cut ties with cable. There's just something about having cable. I didn't have it when I was a kid. So now it's a luxury, and I'm like, fuck you, I got cable. And so I keep it. It's a me thing, right? A little quirk.
Yeah.
But yeah. I find myself watching more and more broadcast television. I put antennas on all of the televisions in the house. I found these little digital, quote-unquote digital, plastic antennas. They're like the size of maybe 3 credit cards long.
Uh-huh.
And you just kind of glue them with the little sticky that they come with to the back of your television. You don't even see them. They're not like rabbit ears anymore. But I pick up like 40 channels over the air with this thing. Granted, like 20 of them are all in Spanish. There's a ton of over-the-air Mexican broadcasting here. Yeah, you know, I live right on the border, so we get all of that.
Exactly.
And but we had awesome channels like MeTV, right? Yeah. And I found myself watching that a whole lot and watching more wholesome content. Because I think our everyday lives are saturated with so much sex and violence and CGI. It gets a little bit old, and I find myself craving the basics.
I agree.
Like Home Improvement, even.
And it's really funny you should bring that up. I was talking to a friend of mine. He used to come and chat a lot, but he's been very busy lately. Bo, Elbow Amio. And I was telling him, I said, I was actually thinking about writing Harlequin books. And he kind of laughed about that. And I was like, why are you laughing? And he was like, because you'll write Harlequin books and it's going to make you uncomfortable because of all the sex scenes. And I said, aha, I want to write Barbara Cartland books. Like there's no sex, like it's all the romance without the sex. So that's what I want to do. And I was telling him, it's like, there's actually a market for that. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of mommy porn. I mean, that was what 50 Shades of Grey was, mom porn, basically. And I never read it. I never got past like the second or third page because I was correcting all the grammar. And I said, if I'm correcting grammar, I'm not going to enjoy this book. So I gave it up. I never read the Grey series.
I was so, I don't know what it was, but I was repulsed by the entire thing.
Like, well,
because I heard that it was started off and, you know, I didn't follow up on any of the
rumors,
but I heard
the
it was like
was,
Twilight fan fiction. Is that even true?
Well, it started off as Twilight fanfic. But when you start reading like the first chapter and you hear a 13-year-old in your head, that's a bad sign. So believe it or not, I do have friends in the BDSM world. And I got in touch with them and I said, how do you feel about this book? Without question, all of them said it was the trashiest, worst take on BDSM that they've ever seen. So I asked them. I asked them straight out. I was like, okay, tell me, because I'm not in the scene, so I don't know. But I'm familiar enough that there is a scene of bondage and, you know, sadism, masochism, that kind of stuff. So I asked them, I said, what was wrong with the books? And they said, first word was everything. And then they started detailing and they said, this was, and they said the same thing that I thought, this was written by a 13-year-old who's never been into BDSM. And I'm like, oh shit. Okay. No wonder. So that was my my first inkling was this is being written by a 13-year-old that has absolutely no grammar rules whatsoever. Okay. And then my BDSM friend said, and she has, this person, whoever wrote this, has never, ever done any cultural investigation on the BDSM scene. So she has absolutely no say. I mean, it's completely wrong. And I'm like, okay, no wonder. But it was mommy porn. The moms that weren't into BDSM thought it was great.
It really had a huge.
Yes, it did. But when the movies came out, they didn't do so well.
I didn't see the movies either. But I heard she had a big old bush.
No, the movies didn't do so well. And it wasn't because of Dakota Johnson. I think it was because of the young man that played the guy.
You know, the
Christian Grey.
The premise of the whole thing is just so contrived.
I mean, he's a billionaire by the age of 26. How?
Yeah.
Seriously. And nobody ever questioned that. I'm like, that's the first question I had.
I've always imagined the sex scenes to read out something like, and then he put his thingy into her thingy.
See,
you know, and
I don't
like using those terms too.
And this is what I was telling Bo. I was like, dude, I don't want to do sex scenes. I am June Cleaver. I want to do 50s porn, which is she dusted the shelves so nicely, you know?
And then showed her ankles.
And he was saying, is there a market for that? And I was like, believe it or not, there's a lot of people out there that just want the romance. They don't want the sex. This is why Jane Austen has had such a big resurgence. Emily Bronte had a big resurgence. Charlotte Bronte had a big resurgence.
Because
1800s people, you know, George Sand, all of these people that wrote these beautiful books that had no sex in them have had a big resurgence. And this is why. Because people are tired. Are just getting away from that. They want the romance. They don't need the physical,
But look at our lives, though. All of the different media, look how network television, you can say fuck on it now. Our lives are just saturated with this stuff. And coming from a guy like me, fucking Mickey Blowtorch, right? The king of motorboating titties, to say that, hey, you know, I dig tits, I dig sex, I dig violence, I dig all that stuff. But shit.
But you don't want to be inundated
with it.
We don't have it
24/7. We don't need to saturate our lives with that. There's a time and a place for a fart joke. There's a time and a place for sex. There's a time and a place for all that stuff. We don't need it 24/7. And every single bit of entertainment that we're consuming, look how hyper drama everything is on television now, too. I mean, there just can't be normal drama anymore. It's just so graphic and gritty, and it's never ending. So, you know, being able to escape and run back to channels like MeTV, which I am very upset over, the network affiliate that I have down here in my area is a Sinclair station, and I don't know what happened, but apparently they parted ways, weren't able to come back to a deal, or Sinclair was trying to save some money, but they replaced MeTV with a channel called Antenna, which has a ton of old shows on it. But it doesn't have the good ones. It has all the shitty ones like Maud. And
yeah,
I just miss MeTV. I miss watching the Tune In with Toonie in the morning. You know, Bill and Toonie the fish, and they watch all the old cartoons like Tom and Jerry. I love that stuff. And then I love being able to watch Leave It to Beaver. And, it's so, Hogan's Heroes at Nighttime, the Carol Burnett show. It's just so nice to be able to have that back. I miss Nick at Night so much. And now Nickelodeon plays fucking Friends is Nick at Night.
I mean, Sunday morning,
me feel so
old. I'm on TV Land to watch the Golden Girls.
Oh, TV
In
Land,
the morning, I get up,
that's
what I
decent
watch.
Okay station. They've got a lot of good stuff. You can still get like channels like Charge that plays Magnum PI and Knight Rider and all of those good things. And then, of course, a Laugh is a good television channel. They'll play like Home Improvement and all of those shows. You know, I miss those old sitcoms. I miss watching Night Court. Home Improvement was a fantastic sitcom. You know, it really was. It was a sitcom that the entire family could actually enjoy together, we don't have a whole lot of that anymore.
I know. And it's something that I have noticed. A friend of the chat, LL Mayer, if you don't follow her, do so. She is absolutely awesome. One of the biggest Anglophiles I know. She just got accepted into, I believe, some kind of society for historical stuff. So I'm sorry. I'm very tipsy, so I can't recall. But her handle is LL Mayer, M-A-Y-E-R. So follow her. She was my first podcast partner. She and I did Pod Divided. But she is a self-published author. She has several books out there. One of them was on the Baylor scandal, sexual assault scandal. And she's also, you know, writing romance. And one of the things that I noticed that a lot of the romance lately has been, it's all about sex. And I'm like, women my age, yeah, okay, we've had sex, we want the romance, okay? So there is a niche for that and everything. So she's been delving into that, and she has self-published, she's on Amazon, and her books are really cool, you know?
It's kind of refreshing, you know? It's nice to be able to have shelter from all of it.
I used to be made fun for being June Cleaver. And now people tell me, it's like, it is so cool that you're June Cleaver. You know, and I'm looking at the same person going, 10 years ago, you were making fun of me. And he's like, yeah, but now I get it.
June Cleaver has some stunning cheekbones.
No shit. And all that's the pearls, probably the apron, most all that shit, man, I was all about that.
Feature about her is her cheekbones. They're just absolutely stunning.
She did. I'm so sad that the last surviving member of the regular cast and the extended cast really is Jerry Mathers. Tony Dow passed away a few weeks ago.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's really sad. Hugh Beaumont was the first one to pass away. He passed away in 1982, 83, something like that. And June actually passed away in 2014, I want to say. She actually lived a very long time. And if you guys are not aware, there was a new Leave It to Beaver that took place after the boys were grown and they had married and had children. And June went back to college and everything. She joined a sorority and she was rushing and everything. It was hilarious. So if you can find that. It was great.
Kind of an interesting parallel. My nickname when I was in the military was Beaver.
There is absolutely nothing that shocks me anymore. I am not shocked at all.
My all of the everybody call me Beaver, and my good friends call me the Beave.
Okay, so you're the Beaver. Got it.
The Beaver.
Beaver lover, maybe. I've had a little too much to drink. Okay, obviously. Anyway.
Oh, my goodness. What a fun return. I've had a really good time tonight. I'm so glad I'm back.
I'm so happy to see you back. Maybe next Friday we can do our list.
Yeah, we can definitely get back to some lists. Aggie came up, rather, of a good topic for tonight's show. She wasn't sure, so she prepared a list like we used to do. I think that's one of our favorite things that we do is the lists.
The lists, yes. That's always funny because it always gives you, it takes us on a tangent. And then those are always fun.
Real quick, I just want to say hi to Founders Girls in chat, JG's in chat. I think I'm caught up with all of the newcomers. And I just wanted to say hi and thank you guys for giving me such a warm welcome back. It's truly been very nice. A lot of nice things have been said this evening. I feel very undeserving, but I am so absolutely flattered.
You're totally deserving. Shut up.
feel. I don't know.
That's the tequila
said.
Talking.
But I had a good time.
Oh, also, I just want to give you a heads up before we sign out. So, Kimmy is looking to come to Texas. And I told her, hey, my house first. But guess what? We have a road trip.
Oh, so snap.
I head your way.
Do you have any updates on that?
Yeah, when it happens, I will let you know.
Yeah, definitely give me a heads up so we can I can make sure that I take some evenings off and clear my schedule and prepare the guest room.
Oh, dude, you don't even have to do that. Just meet us at the bar.
There we go.
But yes, we have plans. And it's funny because we were on a, it was a thread and they tagged us in it about, you know, when you come to Texas and everything for Kimmy. And everybody said, yeah, but not El Paso, not El Paso. And I'm like, the fuck not El Paso? El Paso's like our first stop.
Oh my goodness.
So yes. So yes. That's
how long has it been since you've been to El Paso?
The last time I was in El Paso was 2003. Summer of 2003. So it has been a while for me. And I need to rectify that because El Paso is severely underrated.
It is.
There is so much beauty in El Paso. Sure. I cannot tell you where my folks lived was off of exit 13 on I-10.
It took me about 10 years to quit hating it.
Yeah. Well, you know, it took my mom a little less, but that's because Dad said, okay, you can have grass in the front lawn instead of rocks. But they had a view of the Thunderbird that's over on the Transcontinental Highway.
Yeah.
And to this day, it is still one of the most iconic things I've ever seen in my life. Because it does harken back to the Native American tribes that lived in there, the Yagua Indians and everything. And to see the Thunderbird on that mountain range is amazing to me. So for me, it was like, you know, the anthropologist in me was like, wow. But the girly in me was like, you know, it's like, this is so cool.
It really is pretty neat.
But there's a lot of stuff, a lot of, you know, El Paso is really underrated.
It is.
It really is.
The food, you know, I think my favorite thing about El Paso really is the folks here.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
The people really are very sweet, very, very inviting, and they sure have taken care of me over the years. I've been here for almost 15 years now.
When you learn the history of how El Paso was founded and everything, the people make a lot of sense.
They do. They're wonderful folks.
And, you know, at first, when you first get there, you're like, why are they like this? Then when you realize the history behind how El Paso was founded, then you know. And you're like, oh, this clicks for me. This is so awesome for me. I can honestly tell you, every single hole in the wall I ever ate at in El Paso was superb.
Well, that's where you go.
That's where you go.
Well, on that note, I know we've got the first BS coming up.
Yep.
We probably better skip that. Thank you guys so much for such a warm, wonderful welcoming back. I had a wonderful time this evening, a lot of fun. It feels good just to have the microphone back and looking at everybody in chat and I feel like I'm back home. So thank you all. Aggie, sweetheart, where can we find you?
Well, you can find me at Aggie Rikin and at Aggie the Barkeep over on Twitter. I'm also over on Getter. I'm on, well, lots of media. And Tuesday nights, 8:45 p.m. Eastern, you can find me with my quaffable... What? I can't even say it. Fred Flager doing the cocktail lounge. on Tuesdays, on Fridays, right here with the wonderful Mickey Blowtorch. I'm so glad you're back. 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Doogie says she said. How about you?
You can find me on Twitter at Mickey Blowtorch, the only social media that I am on. You can find me here every Friday night, hopefully moving forward, here on KLRNRadio.com, co-hosting He Said, She Said with my wonderful co-host, Aggie Rican. And as for all of you out there, thank you for all those in chat. Thanks for everybody that tuned in this evening. Be kind to one another. It doesn't cost you anything. Don't take anybody's word for it unless you check with me first and keep your tits dry, America. We love you, baby. Good night.